Blog Talk Radio.
CN Worldwide Radio. It is May 10th, 2018, and today we are talking NBA basketball. Of course, we are in the midst of the NBA playoffs, and we finally have the Eastern and Western Conference Finals set. Of course, the Atlanta Hawks are not in them. 646-652-4479. I say that because I am talking strictly Atlanta Hawks basketball this morning. And the episode for today, the 2017-2018 Atlanta Hawks season, a discussion with Bob Rathbun. Now, spoiler alert, might not be able to get Bob on this morning, might have a scheduling conflict, but I did not want to not do the show. So just in case he is able to come on before I end the show, I want to go ahead and be on. Plus, too, of course, all the Atlanta Hawks fans that might be out there who might be at work listening in, and the ones who might want to try to call in, sneak a call while they're at work, hopefully they don't get in trouble doing that, can participate. So last year, it was a season we knew was coming sooner or later. You know, over the last 4 years, we saw Hawks that always have been Hawks, no longer Hawks. You know, Jeff Teagues of the world, Al Horford. You know, we saw free agent signings that made our team better, no longer here. Junkyard Dog, Paul Millsap. And then finally, kind of all of a sudden, the head coach, coach that won Coach of the Year and got the team to his first and only Eastern Conference Finals, is now also no longer here. But over that time frame, we did get an influx of new talent, right? We have Collins, we have Prince, you know, we have several players that make a difference coming off the bench. But now where are we? Are the Hawks now in a position, because they have the opportunity to get that top five pick, what will happen next? Today we're going to delve into these topics and more. And again, if Bob is able to call in, you know, he's a veteran broadcaster, over 30 years experience. He's definitely has seen all the ups and downs of the franchise. So I hope to be able to get him on, if not today, definitely in the future. But you as a fan, if you've been a fan of the Atlanta Hawks for a long time or a short time, definitely call in. 646-652-4479 is the number. Be sure to follow the show on Instagram, IMTN Worldwide Radio. So what I'm going to do, what I would do is, if I'm questioning whether or not I'll be able to have a guest on, is I would call a little bit. But today I'm not going to do that. Today I'm actually going to go ahead and get the show started. So that being said, first things first. With the fact that over these last few years we have had, all I can say is, like, things happen, right? And now we are at that point where everything is changing drastically now, mostly because of the coaching change. It's a matter of where do the fans stand and how do they look at things. So with the fact that we have someone like Collins in, and then we do still have veterans on the team, you know, now that we're in the off season right now, we're preparing for the draft. We see players being worked out, things of that nature. But then also we had those players from last year that were called up from the G League, you know. So how will they affect what we do or don't do, right? And with a coaching change, which coaches on our team will be gone or will they stay, right? How does that play into it, things of that nature? But one of the first things I wanted to talk about is the term of tanking. There's been a lot of hubbub about that term and phrase over the last year or so. And we look at other franchises that have been, you know, quote-unquote tanking, okay? And I just don't like that term because I think it's a false terminology. I think it's wrong to even have that term being used or applicable in any kind of sense in the word for any team or any sports franchise ever, because by definition, players do not come into their respective leagues to lose games on purpose, and it's an insult to say that happens at all. Players sign their contracts to play to the best of their ability. Even if they don't have any ability, they're trying their best. They're trying to win games. And I've given evidence over the last few months in regards to the Hawks specifically. If the Hawks aren't trying to win the game and they're down by 5 points and there's a minute left in the game, why are they calling timeouts or why are they fouling people to be able to get another possession if they weren't trying to win the game instead of trying to lose a game to supposedly get a better draft pick? I guarantee you, no player on the Atlanta Hawks squad cares about getting a draft pick because that's not their job to get a draft pick. It's the organization's job to draft picks based on where they stand in the standings each year. You see what I'm saying? There are not 15 GMs on the Atlanta Hawks. They're all basketball players. The coach does not coach to lose games. If the coach coached to lose games, we would never see the proper starting lineup. Dennis Schroeder would never start an NBA basketball game if he was trying to lose games. Just wouldn't happen. The GM can affect the team's wins or losses by who he chooses to have on the roster per contract signings. And that can make it harder for whoever the coach is to win games. And seemingly that could be called tanking, but at the end of the day, that's at the end of the day, restructuring the team, saying, hey, we're about to go into a different direction, so these players have been stalwarts over a period of time. We can't have them here anymore. And that might mean we're going to lose some games, but we're going to be competitive. That's what Travis Link said, right? That's what he said, right? Now, some might not agree exactly how he did it, me being one of them in particular. But at the end of the day, it had to happen. 646-652-4479 is the number. Also, by the way, the chat room is open. I always forget to mention it. But if you're on, if you're listening to the show online and you're at work but you can't call in, you can type in a comment or two, and I'll mention it all over the air and give you a shout-out, okay? So as far as tanking goes, like I said, I hate the term because it really insults players, insults the coaches, and insults the team overall. For people to boo when a team wins, it's just messed up. And if you don't think that, you really are not a fan of basketball or of a particular team, because that's just wrong, okay? It just is. Now, that being said, we lost a certain amount of games this year. We stand to, you know, get a draft pick that is going to be one of the highest we've had in a long time, okay? That being said. So, for the fact that we lost so many games, but we only lost a chunk of games by 10 points or less, if you're listening, where do you think the team stands in regards to getting back into legit contention again? Now, myself, I've watched all the games this year. I saw how hard that team played each and every night. Now, sometimes they just got outplayed, and that happens in the NBA. Sometimes they got outplayed because we just didn't have enough players to go up against other teams. But then at the same time, we go up against some of the quality teams in the NBA, and somehow we beat them. So that's why I continue to say there's something there. The team had talent, okay? As a Hawks fan, I know what happened at the beginning of the season. We had a lot of injuries. We had a lot of bungled lineups because of those injuries. That hurt the team at the very beginning of the season, right off the jump. But we had a real good mix of veterans and young players on this team, and you see how good the Philadelphia 76ers got with the additions of Marco Bellinelli and Ersan Ilyasova, right? You saw how good the Hawks played down the stretch, right? Especially when the G League players came up. We got players on that team that can hit buckets and play defense and the whole nine yards, right? So my thing is, how far are we away, really? Are we a draft pick and a free agent away from being right back in the playoffs, especially in the Eastern Conference? I believe so. How far are we from being named a natural contender in the Eastern Conference, actually being viewed as a threat? Not sure. But still, I don't think we're that far away. It really, at that point, depends on the head coach. Can the head coach instill a defensive mindset that is 48 minutes a night, not 2.5 quarters, not 3.5 quarters? You see what I'm saying? Can we get that one player that's needed in the starting lineup to be consistent in regards to scoring, not have a 17-point night one night and then 3.5-point night the other night, right? Can we continue to solidify our bench, which our bench is one of the top ones in basketball still somehow each year, players in and out, but can we continue to solidify that? And again, I feel in the Eastern Conference, especially how we saw how the Eastern Conference round down this year, I think we can be right there again. Now, again, some of that comes into coaching, and that's what I'm going to talk about next. 646-652-4479 is the number. We had a coaching change. First time we've had a coaching change in a while for us, right? Had, you know, if we go back to Woody, then go to Drew, and then to Bud, it's been a minute between Drew and Bud, right? And my contention about the whole coaching situation is that, and again, we still really don't know why it happened. I mean, Travis wants to say these, well, we just thought that we'd be able to go into it. We just needed to go into a different direction. We're just going to mutually separate. You're just going to, you know, but why did Bud push to look out for other job opportunities? And why did our organization give him permission, knowing good and well that prevents anybody talking to the Hawks about an open position for weeks until something may happen? And again, my whole thing is, at the very end of the season, either Bud knew he didn't want to be there no more, or Travis knew that Bud didn't want to be there no more, or he didn't want Bud there no more. Why would the decision to let Bud go happen then, rather than let it stretch out for a period of time and have the franchise in limbo? Why didn't Bud make a decision last year if he didn't want to be here anymore? If he didn't want to be here, or if Travis didn't want to be here, have him here anymore, why didn't that happen last year? You know, I mean, especially when certain, like, again, it's like, okay, well, Al is not here no more, okay, cool. And then you let Dwight go, okay, cool. And then you let Paul go, okay, cool. Well, you can kind of see the writing on the wall. We're letting people go. So if that's the reason that Bud didn't want to be here anymore, he knew that 3 years ago after the 60-win season, technically. So if he, you know, so if the premise is he didn't want to be a part of an actual rebuild of any kind, he should have got out while the getting was good. If it's on Travis's end, Travis has only been here 2 years now. Again, if he didn't think Bud was going to be the coach of the future, he should have made that decision last year, as far as I'm concerned. Because the other part of that is, Bud knows what he's doing. Bud is trying to win each game. Get it? We won at least 5 extra games. You see what I'm saying? Maybe 10. With the players that we had on the floor each night because of Bud. Because Bud is trying to coach to win. Again, there were some nights where we just didn't have enough. There were some nights where, at the end of the day, we didn't play no defense. Okay? None. You see what I'm saying? But then those little small games where we did play enough defense to win, We didn't have enough to finish out the game. And that's how we lose. That's how we lose 30 plus games, 10 points or less. 30 games. You know how many games in the NBA season? 82. You see what I'm saying? So it's just strange to me, you know, what's the real cause. I really would like to know the real deal. We probably never will know, like we never know anything with the Hawks franchise at the end of the day. But I would like to know, because that's just strange to me. Because now here we are on the verge of the NBA draft, and we don't know what direction we're in because we don't have a coach. You see what I'm saying? The GM isn't the coach, unless I heard something different. So what if the new coach comes in and everybody that we've evaluated and looked at and been considering is nowhere near what he's thinking about, right? His system doesn't fit anything that Travis is. And yes, the GM is wanting to do this and do that, but if you bring in a coach, I mean, at a certain point, it has to be even killed a little bit. And that's why I'm concerned about the whole time frame of getting a coach. We need time to be able to have that coach instill what he needs and what he wants, because otherwise you don't really have a coach. You have a puppet. We don't need no puppet in Atlanta. That's the last thing we need. I'd rather bring Larry Drew back. Well, actually, he was kind of a puppet. I'd rather bring Woody back. Get Woody back in here. He was doing a great job bringing the win total up year after year he was here, getting us in the playoffs. Playing hard, had the team playing hard, and then they fire him because that's what Hawks do. You see what I'm saying? 6-4, 6-6, 5-2, 4-4, 7-9. So, besides the coaching part of things, it's a matter of the franchise itself. Because now, because we are basically starting over, how far behind are the Hawks in regards to the other franchises in the city? Because remember, the Hawks have only one conference finals championship appearance in their history. Meanwhile, you have the Atlanta United, who looks like they're about to go to their championship this year. You have a resurgence in the Atlanta Braves. Yes, it's a young season, but they have a solid team. They got pitching down. They lead the league in runs scored. They can hit. They scored last year, but now they can pitch and hit and play some defense. They got one of the youngest teams in baseball. So they're basically back. Probably will be in the playoffs this year too. Right? The Atlanta Falcons. Revamped, retooled, have an opportunity to be in the Super Bowl in Atlanta because the Super Bowl finally is back in Atlanta. Finally. Back in the ATL. And Matt Ryan has enough money to win us a couple of Super Bowls, hopefully, right? So you have that franchise there. But the Hawks, how far away are they from being back into a position to where they can be, you know, viewed as another team to really pay attention to? Are they going to be an afterthought? How long will they be an afterthought? They've been an afterthought for a long time. Nobody discusses the Hawks in the NBA as anything, and especially now. For the most part, we're a joke to a lot of people still. But we're going to have a cool bar. We're going to have a club. Don't get a place to get your $50 haircut. You can play golf. I don't know how you play golf during the NBA basketball game. I really don't understand that. But that's just me. Sorry. I mean, maybe at halftime, maybe, I guess, if you can fit that all that in 12, 15 minutes or so, I guess. I guess so. But I'm going to a game to watch the game. I'm not coming there. I mean, that doesn't, you know, for me, that's, you know, maybe that's just me. I want to see this Atlanta Hawks team viewed as a contender at one point, just one time in their history, viewed as a legit threat in the conference. Not the Cavs, not Boston, not Toronto. Well, the Toronto has never been viewed as a contender. But anybody else that's out there, it needs to be Atlanta Hawks need to be in discussion. When Charles Barkley is talking in his NBA playoff time, Charles Barkley needs to say the Atlanta Hawks. Because even in the 60-win season, That wasn't being said. They were just a team with 60 wins. That's about it. They weren't labeled as a contender. There was nobody that a team above them or in the Eastern Conference, because nobody was above them because they won 60 games. But nobody was afraid of the Hawks. Nobody was expecting the Hawks to do anything, even with 60 wins. And that's messed up, don't you think? I'm just reading a message that somebody sent. So, bear with me, folks. Checking on something. Okay. So, that being said, again, this was an opportunity, you know, to kind of just get some things out there, thoughts-wise in regards to the Hawks season, in a short amount of time. I wanted to ask definite, you know, specific questions to Bob if he was able to make it onto the show. He wasn't able to. And I do apologize for that, y'all. Hopefully we'll get him on soon. But the Atlanta Hawks is a team that deserves an opportunity. And for whatever reason, they've always been out of pocket. And it goes back into really Atlanta as a whole as far as franchises. Somehow, some way, success has always avoided them. And a lot of that is ownership for sure. Right? The Atlanta Braves, for all intents and purposes, should have like 6 world championships. They have 1. In the last 10 years or so, because of ownership, never was a move made to really put them into contention when it was possible for them to do so because of money. And that's bogus. For years, the Atlanta Falcons never had a back-to-back winning season. Like, as impossible as that sounds, it really did happen. That really was the truth when it came to this franchise until they signed Matt Ryan. Right? And you have other franchises that are affiliated with Georgia, UGA Bulldogs. How many national championships do we have? Not enough for all the talent that's come through the program. Georgia Tech at least does have 1 in the 80s. Or is it the 1990, I guess? I don't know. Can't remember. Doesn't matter. You know, the Georgia Swarm has a championship in lacrosse. Yay. Atlanta Dream hasn't won one yet. They've been close, but they haven't won. And like I said, Atlanta United, people would say their inaugural season was a fluke, but they lead the league in attendance again. They have the best record in MLS. They're a dominating team. They lost last night, unfortunately, 2-0. Bogus. At home, bogus. Or was that on the road? I think it was on the road, actually, so that doesn't hurt. But they have a legit shot of winning their championship this year. They are a solid team. They're one of the best teams in MLS. Seriously. So they have a shot. But it's about time that Atlanta as a city starts getting a chance to experience championship play. You know, seeing their team in the championship round. You know, having that parade on Peachtree Street that should have happened more than it has in the last 30 years. Like, literally, seriously, folks, think about it. The last time that any fan of Atlanta sports has walked down Peachtree or stood on Peachtree Street watching their team drive by in cars or whatever was 1995. What year is it? Anybody do the math on that? I'll do the math on it. That is, doing this real quick, y'all. That's 23 years ago. But still, too long. You see what I'm saying? So at a certain point, there just has to be an expectation factor, because it's like the players are trying to win, but are the franchises, the ownership's actually trying to win? Now, we know Arthur Blank is. He's been doing what he's been doing for a while, and he's put us in the best position possible for all of our circumstances. I won't get into that. But at least the Falcons have been labeled as contenders. You see what I'm saying? It's been a while since the Braves have been labeled as contenders. You know, after Bobby left, that kind of ended right there. And then you had that little, time period after Bobby. And now with Brian Snicker in there, we knew it was a rebuild and everything. But now, again, look at what's happening now. We have great young starting pitching, a.k.a. 1991. We got players who can play their positions defensively, although some of them make a few more errors than I would like right now, but they're still young. We have hitters. We have hitters that can do everything. We have hitters that can bunt. We have hitters who hit for average. We have hitters who hit with minimum scoring position, and we hit with power. Can't ask for more than that. And it's all up and down the lineup. We almost have too many hitters at this point, which is a good thing. The one thing that always has been a weakness for the Atlanta Braves, somehow for two decades, is bullpen. Now, lately, the bullpen has been really, 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 really getting better. Okay? And that's one of the reasons why we are a few games over 500 and leading the NL East now, finally. Because the bullpen did improve. But if anybody remembers, the bullpen was crap at the beginning of the season. It was really depressing. How can you just have that many walks? Like, seriously. How can you just walk everybody, right? But it's getting there, folks. It's getting there. And so, and this is through injuries and everything so far, too. We've had injuries. Didn't matter. So the Braves are getting close. If it hits summertime and they're still up there, especially in first, they have to be labeled as a contender because you got Freddie Freeman healthy. You got Acuna up, healthy. Ozzy Albies, healthy. We have a legit contender at that point. But I just want the Hawks to be labeled as a contender, and that's the reason for this show. I want to see the Atlanta Hawks draft properly for this franchise for the next 10 years. I want to see free agents come to this team again and want to stay and not feel that they're going to be allowed to walk without a phone call or sit down face-to-face, man-to-man discussion about why we're letting them walk. I want to see that. I want to see our players continue to develop. I want to see the young players decide that they want to stay here and make their career in Atlanta. I want to see that. I want to see players that are on the bench play to the best of their ability. I want to see all the starters always play 48 minutes a night or however many minutes they're allotted. They need to play all those minutes to the best of their ability. That's what I want to see, and that's where coaching comes in, because that was not happening sometimes, even with Bud. It wasn't happening. You see what I'm saying? On all aspects, offense, defense, everything. Defense especially. Okay, so hopefully next show I do as far as sports, I'll have Bob on so I can ask him some of the questions I had scheduled for him. Definitely be looking out for some more sports shows. I'll probably concentrate on the Falcons next time I'm on the air as far as sports and talk maybe baseball after that. I will be doing new shows. Be sure to always visit on Instagram, IMTN Worldwide Radio. Make sure you follow so that way you get updates about upcoming shows. I actually have a show tomorrow. I have a book author that I have on. His name is Tom Corbett. The name of the book is Palpable. Let me make sure I say it right. Let's see, where is it? I want to make sure I name the book right. I don't want to say it wrong. Palpable Passions. There you go. Tom Corbett. Also, visit www.blogtalkradio.com/IMTN Worldwide. You also get the show information there as well. And hopefully you'll hear me on the air very soon. With that being said, that's the end of the show. Hope to hear from y'all soon. This is Chris, IMTN Worldwide Radio. Peace.